Good morning, guys. My name is Lena. I'm the host of Morning Minutes. We're in the Gospel of John, and today we're going to hit John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. Jesus has just finished his conversation with Nicodemus. We don't know what he responded, Nicodemus, but we know that the truth was spoken. And now we're going to move back to John the Baptist for a minute. And remember that this entire book is written to remind us to believe that Jesus is God and to prove to us that Jesus is God. And so verse 22 says this: after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Anna near Salim, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from above is from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets a seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Boy, John has got some things right. No wonder he was called the greatest man who ever lived by Jesus. And we can see why here, titled today's teaching, What Makes a Man or Woman Great? Do you long to be great? Well, you're going to figure out some tips here today from God's word to help you be a great man or woman of God. Number one, what makes a man great is a humble admission of who he really is. And we see this so awesomely with John, man. The guy is just so clear on what his role is and who he is. He's a humble man who recognizes that everything I have is from God. All your talents, all your brains, all your looks, all your gifts, everything you have. You might even be like, "Well, I worked hard for my house and my car." Listen to me. The reason you were able to work hard is that God gave you the very breath that you're breathing so that you can do the things that you're doing. Everything you have is from God, and John recognized that. He says to them, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven." Boy, that changes things, doesn't it? A humble man refuses to take credit for what was freely given to him by God. God graciously chose John the Baptist to be the proclaimer, the witness to the coming of Jesus. And when these people came to John and tried to set him up and try to get him to stroke his ego, see, the humble man refuses to have his ego stroked. They come to him and they're like, "Dude, you're the guy." And now they're going to him. And John doesn't feed into that nonsense. He says, "Man, I know who I am and I know who he is." So what makes a man great is a humble admission of who he really is. And then number two, what makes a man great is a humble submission to who Christ is. And if anybody was submissive to who Christ is, it was John the Baptist. And if you're struggling in your life, you're probably fighting what Christ is, who Christ is and what he wants in your life. See, when you understand that Jesus is the groom and that it's simply a privilege to be his friend, it changes everything. And John had such a classic understanding of that. He says, "Man, Jesus is the groom, and he's the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice." See, it's an honor to be standing next to the bridegroom at the wedding, and John just understood that. He understood that Jesus was God and that all his role was to point towards him. Do you understand that today? See, I think one of the challenges in the Gospel of John is that it is not a gospel that's about us. It is a gospel that's about him. Now, everything about him eventually has to do with us, but the focus of the gospel is to point to Jesus, to talk about Jesus. And so sometimes in reading it, you could be like, "What about me? How's Jesus going to fit into my equation?" And really, the Gospel of John is a reminder that the question isn't how does God fit into my life, but how do I fit into the story of God? And John understood it, and it wouldn't be long before he would be put in prison and eventually killed for the faith. And yet, despite that, Jesus, who, by the way, could have saved him but didn't, because that was his purpose here on earth, was to proclaim Christ. And today, John is in heaven with the Lord, and because he understood this concept that Jesus must increase and we must decrease. Are you living with that truth today? Or is your life all about you? Are you mad at God? because he's not fulfilling what it is that you want him to fulfill, or you're submissive to who Christ is and your place in the kingdom of God. So you want to be great, you remember who you are, you submit to who Christ is, and then what makes a man great is his sincere worship of Jesus Christ as Lord. Man, the last couple of verses are awesome. Basically, that verse, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. There's a connection here happening. There's a parallelism between believes and obeys. See, to believe leads to obedience. Obedience doesn't save you, but how you behave is a result of what you believe. What you believe motivates how you behave. So if you want to know whether you believe the Lord, look at your behavior. Are you doing the things that are in sync with God's ways? So how do you worship Christ? You worship him by believing him. Believe in Christ today in your life when you're facing a trial, when you're asked to make a decision that might not be what you want, but what Christ wants in your life. And you know it. You know what it is. I usually know when Christ wants me to do something, but when you believe him and are willing to obey him, see how you respond to what he asks you to do shows whether you really believe him. And if you want to worship the Lord, you do it by believing him and you do it by obeying him. And if you don't, man, the wrath of God is on you. And now if you're saved, the wrath of God has been removed from you because of the presence of Christ over you. His blood has washed you. But if you feel a separation between you and the Lord, it might just be because you're persisting in your ways and you're refusing to submit to who Christ is. So that is a challenging word today. If you want to be great, you recognize who you are, you submit to who Christ is, and you worship the Lord and do it by believing him and by obeying the things that he's asked you to do. So how are you doing in that today? Hey, don't forget, it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. I love you guys. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm going to work on my endings. I feel like they're a little choppy, so I apologize for that. But have yourself a great day. Know that you are loved.